Welcome to EarnestlyContendingForTheFaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Today, we're going to be asking you a question about your salvation. The title of today's presentation is, Are You in the Faith? I want to state at the outset today that we are the strongest of advocates of what theologians refer to as the Trinity. The Trinity is a theological term that describes the biblical term, the Godhead. The Godhead is made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They are three persons in one. There is but one God manifested in three persons. They are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent, and co-powerful. God the Father is the first person of the Trinity. The first 35 occurrences of the word God in your Bibles is translated from a uniplural Hebrew noun. In Hebrew, you have three different states for nouns. They are singular, dual, and plural. Singular is one, dual is two. Plural is three or more. Deuteronomy 6:4 says that God is one. What that proves is that the Trinity was present at the creation. We see God in Genesis chapter 1:1. We see the Spirit of God in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 16, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ was at the creation. In fact, He is the Creator. God the Son is the second person of the Trinity. God the Son has three titles. He is referred to as the Lord because He is God manifest in the flesh. He is called Jesus because He is Jehovah who saves. In other words, He is the Savior of all who will receive Him. He is called Christ because He is the Anointed One, the promised Messiah of Israel, who will rule and reign over the whole earth from the literal throne of David in the literal city of Jerusalem. His proper full title is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God and as such is an eternal being. He is the eternal Son of God. He has always existed in one form or another. The Bible says this about Him in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall He come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The marginal note in the King James Bible says of the word everlasting is from the days of eternal. From the days of eternity. The word eternal means without beginning and without end. The word everlasting means having a beginning with no end. What that means is that the God-man, who is the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, is an everlasting being. His beginning came at the incarnation when He was conceived of the Holy Ghost by the Virgin Mary. At the conception, the Word was made flesh. The Word did not become flesh or take on a robe of flesh. The Word was made flesh. That's very important that we make that distinction. Proverbs chapter 30 had this to say about God and His Son. In verse 4 of Proverbs 30 says this, Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is His name and what is His Son's name, if thou canst tell? God the Holy Ghost is the third person of the Trinity. The third person of the Trinity in the New Testament is not the Holy Spirit in the King James Bible. The third person of the Trinity in the New Testament of the King James Bible is God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is used 90 times in the New Testament. The term Holy Spirit, in its various forms, is only used a total of 7 times in the King James Bible. We It's used 3 times in the Old Testament and 4 times in the New Testament. The only time both holy and spirit are capitalized is when they appear together in Luke chapter 11, verse 13. When the Holy Ghost is working in any vessel of flesh, including the Lord Jesus Christ, he is called the Spirit. And that word Spirit will always be capitalized when that is the case. The phrase the Spirit is used 137 times in the New Testament. When speaking of the authorship of the Scripture, the third person of the Trinity, or what we call the Godhead, will be referred to as the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost sows the seed of the Word of God in our hearts. The Word of God is the seed that germinates in the womb of Holy Ghost conviction. Absent the Word of God or Holy Ghost conviction, the embryo for a child of God will not be conceived. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is the father of salvation, and repentance is the mother of salvation. Faith and repentance come together in holy matrimony to produce a born-again child of God. Faith plants the seed of salvation in the womb that germinates to produce the fruit of Holy Ghost-wrought repentance. Faithless repentance is fatherless salvation. Our churches in America are chock full of illegitimate children who are going to burst the pits of hell wide open. Most of them have been led in faithless sinners' prayers that produce no fruits meet for repentance. Question for you: do you know for sure that if you were to die today that you would not go to hell? I did not ask you that if you were to die today, if you know for sure that you would go to heaven. I asked, do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would not go to hell? Folks, hell is a very real place of eternal fire, eternal damnation, and eternal pain from which there is no escape. 54 times the King James Bible uses the word hell. At least 88 times the concept of eternal punishment and damnation are mentioned in the King James Bible. The first mention of hell in both the New Testament and the Old Testament is connected with fire. If you, as a professing believer, routinely do not show forth the fruits of repentance, that is God's proof to you that you have not exercised saving faith. Let me repeat that for you again. If you, as a professing believer, routinely do not show forth the fruits of repentance, that is God's proof to you that you have not exercised saving faith. Can I say this? If you spend most of your professed Christian life fighting off the work of the Holy Ghost, then you had better check up on your salvation. If you are constantly at war with the Holy Ghost, then you are still at enmity with God. If you're constantly under condemnation, then you need to do a serious soul searching and prove to yourself that you are in the faith. The question for you is, are you in the faith? The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Now, for decades, I have heard people get up in church services and state that the devil is making them doubt their salvation. I do not believe that the devil makes anyone doubt their salvation. Why would the devil do that? That doubt could and should motivate the professor to examine whether they are truly saved. Continuous doubt of salvation in the heart of a professing believer is God, the Holy Ghost, warning them that they need to examine themselves as to whether they are truly in the faith. My experience in 34 years of being saved, close to 35 now, 34 years of being saved, is that when a person says the devil is making them doubt their salvation, Either they are saved and in sin, or they are lost and given credit to the devil for the convicting work of God the Holy Ghost. Doubt comes slithering forth from under the rock of a hardened and unrepentant heart. A hardened heart resisteth the work of God the Holy Ghost, both under repentance unto salvation in the unbeliever, and also under repentance unto restoration to fellowship with God for the believer. What the Holy Ghost does is motivate repentance, and that repentance, you have to repent to get saved, and you have to live a life of repentance as a saved person. You cannot be saved, folks, and not know it. God the Holy Ghost in you is both the proof, the witness, and the assurance that you have been born again. Let's turn in your Bible and let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we'll start in verse 1 of Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 16. There are many scriptural reasons why we say that if you're saved, you will know it. You cannot have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and not know it. It was by the power of God the Holy Ghost that the Lord Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It is by that same power that the Virgin Mary conceived the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. That's who he is, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And it's by that same power of the Holy Ghost that lost sinners, such as I was, and if you're not saved today, such as you are, it is by that power of the Holy Ghost that lost sinners are raised from spiritual death by being born again of the Spirit. For the lost sinner, it is the Holy Ghost that draws them, convicts them, and regenerates them. You cannot get saved anytime you want to. You can only get saved when the Holy Ghost is working in you to convict you and to draw you. It is the Holy Ghost that empowers saved sinners to live holy lives and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. What follows are 10 scriptural reasons why you cannot be saved and not know it. Folks, I will emphasize that over and over again. If God the Holy Ghost is in you, you're going to know it. Okay, let's start with John chapter 14, and let's read verses 15 through 21. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Note the use of the words of the phrase in you. It's used over and over in these passages of Scripture. That Holy Ghost that's in you, you're going to know that he's there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. And the reprobates, folks, are those that are unsaved. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There it is again, folks, that phrase, in you. That's why we say that you cannot be saved and not know it. If you're saved, you're going to know it. Philippians 2:13 says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Then we got Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 27. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I want to make this point. When Colossians chapter 1 in verse 26 said, used the phrase, but now is made manifest to his saints. Any individual that is saved is a saint, regardless of what church he might be affiliated or she might be affiliated with. If they're saved, they are a saint. You don't have to be canonized as a saint. God says that when you get saved, you are a saint, period, end of sentence. Now, let's go to John chapter 2, verses 26 and 27. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So 1 John chapter 5 teaches us in verse 11 there, that if you have, if you've been saved, you're going to know it. It's a know-so salvation. And I'll repeat that verse. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, it is a know-so salvation, because when you get saved, God the Holy Ghost comes in you, and we have read one passage of scripture after another where that phrase "in you" is. If God the Holy Ghost is in you, and God is the one that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, you don't think that you would know that he was there? Somebody that big, somebody that powerful? If you're saved, folks, you're going to know it. You will know it. So I would ask you, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Do you know for sure that if you were to die today that you would not go to hell? The 10 passages of Scripture we just read said that if you are saved, you will have the Spirit of God in you. Yet, how is it that anyone can say that they do not know if they are saved? If you have the Holy Ghost in you, I cannot make you doubt your salvation on a continuing basis. Why would the devil make anyone doubt their salvation? That would be counterproductive to his goals. One of Satan's greatest works is to deceive someone into believing that they are saved when they are on a path straight into the pits of an everlasting pit of fire, in the pits of hell. So I would ask you this question. Is the devil making you doubt your salvation, or is the Holy Ghost trying to warn you that you have bought into a religion that makes you twofold more a child of hell? The most often perverted Bible doctrine mammoed is the doctrine of salvation, folks. The second most often perverted doctrine mammoed is the biblical doctrine of the Scriptures. The most often perverted biblical doctrine gobbled is the Trinity, especially as it relates to the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ is not just some ideal man. He is God manifest in the flesh. The Holy Ghost is not just some force either, folks. He is the third person of the Godhead. He is directly called God in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. In closing, Satan is not just some evil force. He is an evil entity that possesses all the traits of personalities, who seeks to usurp the throne of God. He is not a fallen angel. He is the fallen anointed cherub that covereth, a spirit being higher than the angels. That's the status of Satan. And I would warn people, when they start trying to lightly rebuke devils, or what the modern perversions of the Bible calls demons, when you try to lightly rebuke them, if you remember, there's a passage over in the book of Jude where it says that the archangel Michael, when contending with the devil about the bones of Moses, dared not bring a railing accusation against Satan, against the devil. The devil, folks, is very, very powerful. The devil will not make you doubt your salvation. If you doubt your salvation, that's going to make you start to look, and it is his objective to have as many as he possibly can to spend an eternity in hell with him. That question comes to you again. Do you know for sure that if you were to die today, that you would not go to hell. You can know that, folks. Thank you for joining us today.